Welcome along to another episode of The Sweet Spot. I'm Dave Clark. He is James Mason. No Steve Palmer this week. James, thank you for joining us. Looking forward to hopefully some big price winners from you. I know you like to hunt out the value, those at big prices in these golf tournaments. How are you? How was Cheltenham?
Yeah, no, very good, thank you. Yeah, Cheltenham was all right. It suited me, I think, with the fact that there were some big prices around the week and you can put some small stakes on big odds, and it's what I like to do. But yeah, it's good to have a few sort of each way places come in. But back on the golf, back ahead of the Masters coming up as well. There is some good golf to come before the first major. So looking forward to it. You know, when the first major comes around the corner, that's when the season's really starting.
Yeah, well, thank you for joining us. Steve Palmer is at the funeral of legendary golf tipster Jeremy Chapman today, so I'm sure he'll get a wonderful send-off, one that he deserves as well. But we're delighted to have you with us, James. I know you're like a big price winner as well, so hopefully you can dig one or two out for us. Have you been out on the golf course? I ask you every time you step in for Steve. What's going on?
I haven't been on the golf course. I went to a virtual golf a few weeks ago. So my partner had her brother stay over with us for a couple of weeks. He lives in China, so he came over to stay with us for a holiday. And then I took him to a place called Back Nine Golf, which is in Otley, just down the road from me. And we started out on the Marco Simone golf course, realised it was a bit too difficult for him. So then we decided to go to Pebble Beach and try and do that one. But yeah, no, it was good. Certainly different than obviously being out on the course, but it was quite nice with the weather not so great to actually get a swing of the clubs. I didn't play fantastically.
I noticed that you mentioned there, James, it was a bit too difficult for him, not you. You was coping all right, okay? You were swinging all right?
Yeah, I was swinging all right. He doesn't play golf really, so I gave him a spare set of irons I've got and thought, I'm not letting you use my new set of irons. I don't want them getting scuffed up. You can have the old set. So it was all right, yeah. It was enjoyable. There was his brother came along as well, so it was three of us trying to battle our way across the course.
Nice. Poor sod, he's on holiday and you're taking him to a simulator. He doesn't even play, but never mind.
I made him pay for the food afterwards as well. Loser paid, so it was a nice afternoon.
That is brutal. Right, let's jump into a look back before we look forward. Do get involved with us here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. As I always say, we've got you covered, whether you like your football, horse racing, ground racing or golf. Do keep your eyes peeled on the YouTube feed because we'll be servicing you with plenty of content throughout the week. James, let's start with the LIV Tour then. Beefy Bryson back in the winner's enclosure, picking up a small matter of 3.1 million here in pounds, a playoff win over Richard T. Lee.
Yeah, the well-known Richard T. Lee. But yeah, DeChambeau, I mean, it's a roller coaster from him. Got into the playoff, and then you look like it's gone because he smacks one into the water, still managed to scramble a par. And I think, you know, Richard Lee, obviously the nerves were there, the wild card. And I think when he sees DeChambeau go in the water, he plays a little bit conservatively, but I didn't think it was the wrong decision at the time. But then he missed a horrible, horrible short putt and made a bogey in the end. You've got to give credit to DeChambeau because he's managed to reset straight away and make and somehow scramble a par on that hole. But then Richard Lee, I mean, DeChambeau, his reaction from the side as well, he was expecting them to go down the 18th again for the second playoff hole. And Richard Lee misses the horrible putt and He was asked about it and he just went, I tried to hit it firm and I hit it too firm. But fair credit to him. Hopefully it doesn't play on his mind too much. But yeah, DeChambeau into the winner's circle again. And he'll be somebody that people might have a look at the Masters as well. He's obviously made no bones about his desire to win the Masters. And a few years ago said he was trying to overpower Augusta. He knows he can't do that. But certainly he's a player that somebody will be looking at.
Yeah, I think he could have picked his jaw up off the floor when that putt was missed. I mean, a big showing from Lee Westwood as well there, James. You know, I didn't even know he was still playing golf. He's just come back to life, Lee Westwood. Every now and again, it'll just pop up on the leaderboard.
He knows what to do, doesn't he? He knows how to keep himself on the roster. But yeah, he has been injured, so he didn't play in the first couple of events. And then he's only played twice. He was tied 18th in Hong Kong. And then third last week. So he's looking in decent shape. He's maybe benefited from that little bit of a rest period and not doing all the travel. So yeah, Westwood, it's a good performance from him. John Rahm, consistent as ever, fifth. You know, he's the only player that hasn't finished outside the top 10 in LIV this season. So he's certainly somebody that is enjoying his time on the circuit. There's still all the stuff going on, you know, away from LIV Golf in the fines and trying to get back in the DP World Tour. And Rahm's not accepted the deal that has been offered. Most of them have, the LIV players that want to go back on the DP World Tour, but Rahm's still not willing to pay it. But yeah, I mean, why would he at the minute when he's just getting so much money and he's clearly happy with playing the schedule that he's got?
Yep, we're going to ban politics from the sweet spot, James. But you are quite right. That is all bubbling along in the background. Very dismissive of me. It's like lovely to see Lee Westwood back on the leaderboard. Is he a golfer that, you know, we should be looking at featuring, maybe even winning one of these events soon, James?
Potentially. He's still got the ability, and he's works a lot on his shape. You know, he tries to get in the gym, he tries to keep himself in good health and fitness, and he's certainly not lost any of his golfing ability. And when you look at some of the players on there, some of the old DP or European Tour stalwarts, you know, the Martin Keimers and those type of players, and they don't really seem to have it anymore. They're way down at the bottom of the leaderboards. Poulter is another one where you think he's definitely not the player he used to be a few years ago. But Westwood has just got that longevity and the consistency. So, yeah, certainly he's a player, I think, that could spring a surprise potentially later on in the season.
Yeah, we love Westy. He likes his horse racing and his ground racing as well. Neiman up there as well. James, the final one I'll ask you about. He was a win machine last year. Is this a player threatening to win again?
Yeah, you'd say it won't be too long before Neiman's back at the winner's circle. He's too good a player on the LIV Tour as well, where he's had so much success. Again, it just hasn't quite happened for him this season, but he's starting to bubble along nicely. And he'll be looking at the Masters as well. He'll be looking at the majors, and that's the next step for him. Okay, he was good before he went onto the LIV Tour. He's won many times on the LIV circuit, but actually making a step up in challenging for another majors is the next step in his career for him. So it'll be interesting to see if he can play himself into a little bit of form ahead of Augusta.
Surely at some point he's going to go close or even win one, right?
Yeah, I mean, Augusta, the Masters is the one I think is the major that favours him the most. I think his game suits that. He's had some decent performances there. And I think if he can get in there in a good, you know, a good mindset, a good and just in a little bit of consistency and form going into it, then certainly I think he's a player that has got an opportunity. He also, I think, with him maybe not playing as fantastically, his odds will be a little bit higher than I think they probably should be. I think I remember backing him a few Masters ago around sort of 50-1, I think you could get him at. And I think if you could get anywhere near that price for him, you'd absolutely snap the hand off. But I think he's maybe someone that goes into the Masters more at like a 30-1 chance, something like that.
Interesting. Anything else to add from the LIV event, James?
No, that's all. That's all the LIV recap for today.
Okay, well, we're going to talk plenty about the players. We're going to start with what happened at the very end. Cameron Young beating Matt Fitzpatrick. It was quite a dramatic ending to this one. Was you able to catch much of it, James?
I did. I switched it on the last round for pretty much the last sort of three, four holes of those last few groups. So, yeah, it was a thrilling finish. And fair credit to Cameron Young. I mean, he stands on 17. He knows he needs to probably do something to put a bit of pressure on Fitzpatrick. And what a tee shot. And then what a putt. It was still a decent length of a putt and a horrible little dribbler of a one as well. If you hit it too far, you go on past and you could maybe not make your par. But yeah, when you've got to step up and make something happen, he certainly did it. So you got to doff your cap to him.
Yeah, and a bit of a sore one for Fitzpatrick at the end there as well.
It is. I mean, he played really well and is, you know, is utter class as usual from Fitzpatrick after it. You know, he's lost. He congratulates Young. He then goes and congratulates Cameron Young's parents and his wife. You know, it's really good from him, and it's just what Fitzpatrick is all about. Just an errant tee shot, really, on the 18th, costing him. I don't think it's too bad about the 17th. You know, like you said, if Young goes and makes birdie on that par three, fine, you say, fair credit. He deserves to be level with me going down the last, but just pushed his tee shot too much to the right, in the trees, in the bark. Could have maybe been a bit more aggressive with his second, but he thought, if I go too aggressive, it goes across the fairway and into the water. He was still trying to give himself a chance of making a par, but it was that last hole which really cost him the tournament. He played it in three over on the weekend, so he was double bogey Saturday and he was a bogey on Sunday. If he just played that hole and level par, he'd be lifting that trophy aloft. So, yeah, it'll sting a little bit for him, but still a lot of positives for Fitzpatrick to take ahead for the rest of the campaign.
Yeah, into the top five in the world now, Cameron Young. Second PGA Tour win title for him. It was a sore one for Mats Fitzpatrick. It was a very sore one for us here on the Sweet Spot and a certain Ludwig Aubert as well. Three-shot lead going into the final round. And he went in the drink a couple of times, and that was that.
Yeah, not only went in the drink a couple of times, but back-to-back holes as well. So it was just, you know, the error was compounded in the next one. And listening to Aubert in his comments afterwards, he just said there were some fast swings. He said the nerves got to him. He mentioned after the third round that it was a nervous round, and then going into the last round.
It's surprising that, James, to hear that from him, to be fair.
Yeah, I was, because he looks like such a composed, cool character. You know, you think of the best Swedes and Henrik Stenson's the Iceman, and you just feel like the similarities between Stenson and Aubert were how composed and cool they are. But yeah, he just said that the nerves got to him a little bit, a couple of fast swings, and it just suddenly went in the space of two holes. That was it, and his chances were gone. Really hard for him to get back into it then. So, yeah, disappointing. He still says he's happy with most of his play there. Just one of those instances. I think it just shows how difficult it is to win the Players. You can be four or five shots ahead, but if you don't have full concentration for that back nine, then those things can happen, and even to the best golfers in the world.
Yeah, certainly gets swallowed up on that back nine. Player I wanted to ask you about, Xander Schauffele. Big showing from him?
Yeah, big showing again. And a player, I think, who's starting to not get the wins, but again, he's someone that is just peaking quite nicely ahead of major season. I think he will be a danger. I'm not quite sure at the Masters for Xander Schauffele. Certainly someone who's played well there before, but I definitely think he's going to be in contention for one of the four come sort of, I'm thinking maybe the US Open or something that I'd like Schauffele for.
Yeah, just feels like it's a player who's just starting to go through the gears. So I think we'll see him at least going close to winning a major at some point. Anything else to add, James? I mean, there was a hell of a lot going on, but we've covered most of it at the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, we have. I suppose another couple of sort of storylines from it to say is McIlroy, with the fact that there was the worry whether he's even going to tee up. He did. Yep. He played okay. It was weird that he was finishing his final round before the sort of the leading groups had even teed off for their last 18. It's not a position he's usually in. And then interestingly, seeing what he said afterwards, he said he may add an event to his schedule before the Masters. But yeah, if he doesn't, then that's it. You're not going to see him until Augusta. So it'll be interesting to see. Of course, he's playing in the TGL. The semi-finals that his side are in, Boston Common Golf Club are in. They're playing Tiger Woods' Jupiter Links in the semis. But yeah, I think he could potentially add one more tournament to his schedule. And you look at last year, he played the Houston Open, finished tied fifth, then completed the Grand Slam. He's played the Texas Open a couple times before as well, before Masters in previous years. So I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up in one of those two tournaments. It just depends on his fitness. It depends how bad this back injury is and how much aggravation it's causing him. So it'd be interesting to see where he heads. I think Robert McIntyre was another big performance in the Players. He's actually withdrawn from this week's tournament, the Valspar, along with Keith Mitchell and Sudarshan Ilamaraju, the Canadian rookie. But the Scot said he had a stressful Sunday. And I think it's just the disappointment as well, because he said, I felt bang in contention going into that back nine. And the big turning point, as there usually is in a round of golf, is his bogey at the par five, 16th. He was chipping on the side of the green, thinking, I could get this in for eagle, potentially a birdie. And he chipped it in the water. And that was it. Gone. Made a bogey. And that was his chances gone. But yeah, I think it was maybe a tough one for him to get over. But certainly he's a player that is just looking more and more at home as one of the world's top players. A couple of seasons ago, he was good. There was a lot of admiration for him, but he was lacking consistency. This season, he seems to definitely have that.
Yeah, not the only player to chip and end up getting wet, that's for sure. What about the chef then? Final word. Did you see much of him just kind of down the field and that was that?
Yeah, he seemed to be battling his swing a little bit. I saw a few of the tee shots where it just wasn't quite aligned. And I don't know at the minute with Scheffler. I mean, he's made no bones about the fact that if he wants to down tools and not play golf again, he won't. He says family life is the thing that's the number one for him. And if it ever gets to a point where his golf impacts his family life, then he'll throw golf away, which just some people will be thinking, I can't believe he'd do that. But, you know, it's fair enough. I think there was always going to be a point where Scheffler's performances would drop a little bit. He couldn't.
He is human after all, James, yeah.
He is human. He couldn't continue that absolutely sensational run of form where he's picking up wins in contention every week. There was going to be a little bit of a drop off. You know, TPC Sawgrass is not an easy course. And if you're battling little bits in your swing that maybe aren't going right, then that's a course that will expose it. And it did on a few of his rounds. It's interesting. I listened to Wayne Riley say something about Scheffler and about his quirky swing. And it is his own swing, Scheffler. It's not really one that he tried to replicate because of the big foot movement that he has as well. And Wayne Riley said, well, when one thing starts to go wrong on a quirky swing, it can be quite hard to get it back sometimes. And he said, it's not as if Scheffler's going to go off the face of the planet and not get back to sort of the levels that he's shown. But he said, it potentially could be. There's been a lot of golfers in the world that have shot up and had a good season or two and then just gone because they've maybe got slightly different swings. I mean, the swing you want to replicate is Adam Scott's, isn't it? That is just the be-all and end-all of swings. Not much can go wrong with it. But Scheffler, there is things that can go wrong with it. And at the moment, it's just not quite clicking for him.
Interesting. I don't think there's going to be many people rushing out to back him at the short prices. He's going to be going off the next time he tees it up anyway. Right, shall we move on then and preview this week's golf? Let's go to the DP World Tour. It's back after a week off the second edition of the Hanan Classic. We are in China. Tell us about the track, James. And listen, I'm looking at Marco Penge being the winner last year, so I'm thinking you're just going to have to send it. But one or two quotes from Graham McDowell, who's played the course previously, suggesting it's a second shot course. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's very interesting because, like you said, there's comments that have come from McDowell. That was that Graham McDowell and Roy McIlroy when they played, I think it was the World Cup of Golf. I think it was way back in 2011 or something like that. McDowell was saying it's definitely a shot where approach play is where you want to be. But really, really interesting. I think there's different ways you could go for it. But like you mentioned, it is the second edition. There has been a couple tweaks to the tournament this year. The first one is the fact that it was the closing event of the Asian Swing last year. It's now the opening event of the Asian Swing. So we're a slight little difference in time when it's being played. And also, it was solely staged at the Blackstone course at Mission Hills Resort last year. But this edition is played at two courses. So you've got Blackstone course again. You've also got the Vintage course. So they'll play each course over the first 2 days. Then you've got the cut and the weekend action. That is all at Blackstone. So Blackstone course, which we'll know from last year, that's a par 72. It's a bit of a beast, 7,637 yards. It's got 4 par 5s, 10 par 4s and 4 par 3s. The stroke average last year was 72.14. So it can be a difficult one to get around. It's wide open fairways. So it's a very long course. So your bigger hitters, they performed really well last year. You mentioned Marco Penne, who won it. Then the ones in behind, you had Sean Crocker, Christopher Aitan, Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen. They all give it a good thump with the driver. So distance is what I'll be looking for this week. I think the real key as well to go along with it is distance control, though, with the approach shots. You mentioned McDowell there saying how it is about hitting the greens. I think the fact that the wind can get up a little bit as well, so it's being able to make sure that you're hitting the centres of the greens. If you go wide, you've got bunkers protecting the greens. if you go over the back, it's a steep drop off and then you're into some absolute jungle. So distance control, making sure that you're not trying to give yourself difficult scrambles to get up and down, I think will be key as well. I mean, Penge, he led in greens and regulation last year when he went on to win it. There's lots of elevation changes on the Blackstone course, you know, bunkers surrounding greens, like I mentioned. But then you look at the vintage course. So it's a par 72, 7,331 yards. You've got 4 par 5s, 10 par 4s and 4 par 3s. 3 of those par 5s come on the front 9 as well. So you may want to make a bit of hay on those first 9. It's more of a strategic test, this one. It's interesting when I've looked at some of the quotes. So I think it was the European Tour was saying the Blackstone is more of a strategic fiddly one, but the vintage is more wide open and expansive. I disagree with that absolutely completely, having looked at the two courses and having looked what's available. The fact that the vintage is shorter by some 300 yards, it's more of a strategic test. You've got more blind shots. You know, the emphasis is on accuracy off the tee there and finding fairways. Another interesting point is the fact they have wicker baskets instead of flags. So you've got the flag and then you've got a wicker basket on the top there, which I always find quite interesting sometimes. So it'll be really interesting to see how the players sort of change between going on the Blackstone course to then the vintage. But it'd be really, really good to watch. Weather forecast for these ones, it's warm, temperatures around 20, 30 degrees, pretty steady winds throughout. It could get up to around 20 miles an hour. So I think being able to handle blustery conditions, if it really does get up, it would be beneficial. I think McIlroy in those quotes, he talked about the wind. He said if the wind gets up, it'll be very, very difficult and it'll be a real test. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see. We've got 120 at the minute going to post for this one.
Lovely. When's your birthday, James?
24th of May.
I'll just make a note of that. Send you a wicker basket if that's the kind of thing that interests you. Birthday present sorted. Right, how many players are we putting up for the NN Classic?
We've got 4 selections for this one.
Right, we've got 3 events. So, you know, it's tradition on TweetSpot to ask you what formation you're playing. So we're going 4 here. How many in the South Africa live?
We've got 1.
1, I like the sound of that. And then Valspar.
We've got 3.
Okay, right, so 12 lines there if you wish to play. Who is the main selection then in the DP World Tour NN Classic?
We've got Dan Bradbury leading the way for our quartet. Now, he won on his last outing at the Joburg Open. Second time he's won that event, his 3rd DP World Tour title. So he's very accustomed to winning at this level. They had the enforced break last week on the DP World Tour, and I actually think that worked in Bradbury's favour. He's had time to enjoy the fruits of his labour there, his victory. He'd be fully prepared for this trip to China, and there's plenty more reasons to be positive for him. He's 19th in driving distance this season. He's 7th in strokes gained off the tee. But then you look at the iron play as well. He's 11th in greens regulation and strokes gained approach. So his tee to green game has been very, very impressive. The putter as well, that was red hot in Joburg. That was a club for me that was stopping him from maybe posting more consistent results this season. So I think the hope is that he can take the confidence with that club, you know, the fact that it helped him deliver a victory and help him deliver another one at the Hainan. I think he will be a very, very big player this week.
Is he a fan of wicker baskets, do we know?
I know, I've not asked him. I'd send him an Instagram, but I don't have Instagram, so I can't do that.
So you might struggle. Right, it was remiss of me not to give a show as well before we got the main selection, but Angel Ayora is our market leader. Oliver Lindell, Wenyi Ding, Nathan Kimsey, Shikara's up there, and Dan Bradbury. So, yeah, it's about 10 to 1 the field if you shop around with Ayora heading the market. Right, we have the main selection. Who is the next best?
We're going from England to Scotland, and we're going for Grant Forrest is next up on the chopping board. Now, he's looked pretty solid in 2026. 4 starts, and he's gone tied 20th in the Dubai Invitational, tied 41st in the Dubai Classic. Then he was tied 7th in Bahrain and tied 15th at the Qatar Masters. So I think there's plenty for me to like about how settled he looks at the moment. He's one of the biggest hitters on tour as well. He's 11th in driving distance, and he's been finding the greens with regularity, 20th in GIR. So those 2 stats, I think, will serve him well this week. He performed well at the Haining Classic last year. He was tied 23rd. You know, it's not a massive performance, but I think it was a decent enough showing from him. I think he'll benefit from that experience coming back to the same venue and also that the extra course they're playing. But I just think Forrest at the minute looks like a player who is happy with his game and he's not far away from getting another win.
Okay, are we staying in the United Kingdom for the third selection?
We're not. We're moving into Europe.
Okay, right. Give it to us, James.
We're moving to France and beg the pronunciation of this one, but it's Oyan Guillemondegui is the Frenchman we're going for. Now, to find it on the sportsbook, wherever you look at, it's O-I-H-A-N for the first name and then the last name. Guillemondegui. So there you go. I had many attempts at trying to practice. Yeah, many attempts at trying to practice that one. But there you go. But Guillemondegui, he earned promotion to the DP World Tour after finishing fifth on the season-long rankings on the road to Mallorca. That was on the Hotel Planet Tour last season. He had one win and he recorded a further 8 top 10. So very impressive, very consistent. He's had 3 starts this year so far. Now, he missed the cut in Bahrain. Potential nerves, I would say, there. He was tied 48th at the Qatar Masters, and then he was tied 14th at the Kenya Open. So he's been improving with each appearance. He's looking a little bit more settled and happy to be where he is. And he's also got solid form in China when you look back at what he's done in previous years. Now, last year, he was tied 13th at the Hainan Open, and he was tied 7th at the Hangzhou Open as well. He's got top 30s in both of those events in 2024. So I think the improvement is clear to see from him. His victory last year as well, that came in the Irish Challenge. It was at Killeen Castle in Ireland. Now, that's a course which is 7,596 yards in distance. So big tracks, they're of no concern to this youngster. He's 24th in greens and regulation this season, so the irons have looked really, really sharp. He's 13th in par 4 scoring, so he's managing to give himself lots of good looks on the par 4s. And just another one I look at as well, he's best friends with Martin Couvreur, and we all know how a talented player that he is. The French, they're producing some really, really exciting talents, and I think that Guillemondegui is certainly one of those.
Okay, I found him on the list, 80-1, and I'm really happy with your final pronunciation there. That was a much better effort, so we'll go with that. He is the third pick. Who else have you got for us, James?
Well, the last one, we're moving over to the States. It's Jordan Gumberg, the American. Now, he took well to this test last year. He was tied 16th. It was a level par final round, stopped him from recording a better finish there. Maybe just the nerves getting to him slightly, just couldn't get anything going. He was struggling for form at the start of the year. He had 3 missed cuts in a row, but he has managed to find some improvement over recent weeks. He was tied 42nd at the Kenya Open, tied 28th at the Joburg Open. That was either side of a missed cut in South Africa. So there's still a little bit of inconsistencies, but it's better results from him over the last few weeks. He's a really solid driver of the ball as Gumberg. He averages, you know, over 300 yards in driving distance. He's 7th in accuracy as well. So I think when it comes to the second course, the vintage course, that will put him in good stead as well. You know, it gives himself lots of looks on his approach shots. His irons have looked sharp. He's 2nd in greens in regulation. It's the putter. You know, you look at that tee to green being very good, but it's the putter that has been the problem club. There, you know, there have been shoots of recovery, though, I think, with that over recent weeks. And I think there's the hope that he can continue the improvement. I think with a player who obviously performed well here last year, there's a good chance he could go in again.
Okay, they are the 4 then to go into battle with for the Haining Classic. Lots of money around for the jolly. Angel Ayora is now a clear favourite by some way. I mean, half the price of Oliver Lindell, who's 2nd in with most firms. What of the jolly?
Yeah, I was close. I had a really good look at Angel Ayora, and he's in really good form, consistent, posting good results. I just don't like the price on him. I don't like him being that skinny in the market. You know me, Dave. I don't like going for a short price. In
well, when you said field. I was having a close look at him, I thought, wow. I mean, if it was 20s the field and he was double the price he is, would you have tipped him?
Yes, I think I would. I just don't think there's big value in it. I mean, he could go and win it by 3-4 shots, who knows? But I think there's so many variables with the big field, with it being over two courses now, with the vintage course, no one really knows. So, yeah, for me, there was just too many doubts really going for him. And I think there was more value in backing some of the other players in the field. So he was definitely one I had a little look at. There was another two that I've sort of made my watch list. I've got watch lists for the tournament this week. Mikael Lindberg was one and Rocco Repetto Taylor was another. So I'd be disappointed if those two go in and win, but they were two that almost made it onto the selections.
Well, listen, James, I'll tell you the same I tell Steve every single week. You can't tip them all. You can't back them all. You know, it's golf. That's why golf is tough, right? It's really, really hard. You've gone for four out of a massive field there, but I like some of them. James, nice big prices as well. I know you'd produce the goods. Now, I'm intrigued. We'll move on to the LIV Golf. We're in South Africa, Johannesburg, for the South Africa individual. And I'm intrigued here because you've told us that there's only one pick coming from you. So we'll get on to that. But first off, when do we need to bet by? And what does the course look like?
Yeah, so this is 10:15 a.m. on Thursday. You need to get your bets on for this tournament. But history will be made because this is the first LIV event that has taken place in Africa. But this is the club at Staines City. It's a Jack Nicklaus design, stretches across an estate which is 2.5 times the size of New York's Central Park. It spans approximately 90 hectares. It is massive. So obviously expecting a big course, 7,557 yards. They're playing this one as a par 71. It plays as a 72 for the members, but they've converted one of the par fives into a par four for this event. It has hosted a couple of events before, the 2023 Johnson Workwear Open. That was won by Nick Backham, 24 under. It also had the 2022 Staines City Championship. That was won by Sean Norris on 25 under. And looking at both of those victories and how they ranked in terms of the stats, both players ranked very high for driving distance, while they also putted very well. So I think driving and putting are two important factors to consider. It's got 75 bunkers across this course, all strategically placed, plenty of water in play. Yeah, length off the tee is a factor. There's a fifth hole, which is 650 yards. So don't top one off the tee. Make sure you get it down there. But the fairways are wide. Bombers should have an advantage.
Is that what we're looking for, James? A bit of length off the tee?
We are. We're looking for a bit of length off the tee. Especially weather forecast as well as something to note for this, because they could get some rough conditions. Now, there is rain which has been forecast for all of the 4 days from what I've seen so far. There's potential of scattered thunderstorms in the middle two rounds as well, Friday and Saturday. And if the course sort of isn't firm, isn't running, then your shorter, your plodders, your accurate hitters, they're going to be even further behind. So I think power will have a major advantage this week.
Wow. Okay. Right. You have to travel well if you want to play on this LIV tour. Singapore to South Africa. I'm sure a few of them will be jumping on the PJs, jet job.
Well, that's why some of them wanted to go to LIV though, wasn't it? Oh, they were sick of all the traveling they had to do. But
They're traveling across the world, yeah.
Yeah. Somebody offered them a bit of wonga.
Listen, I play golf all over the world for that kind of day, James. So it's all good. Right. A show. John Rahm, 7-2. You might be able to get 4-1 somewhere if you shop around. Bryson DeChambeau has been nibbled in the market second in. Neiman, David Puig, Dean Burmester, Tyrrell Hatton, Cameron Smith, Thomas Peters. It is the usual faces at the top of the market, as we always say, these LIV events. Now, you're going with just one player here, James. Give it to us.
Lucas Herbert is the one and only selection. Now, he's been in really, really solid form on the LIV Tour this season. He's had three top tens in a row. He was tied 17th in Singapore last week. He was, before that showing in Singapore, he and John Rahm were the only two players that hadn't finished outside the top 10 on the LIV circuit this year. So he's lost that, but still in very, very consistent and steady form. He fits into the two categories that I've looked at, which is driving distance and putting as well. You've got to hold your putts, but he's fifth in driving distance and he's tied fourth in putting average. He's been making plenty of birdies. He's tied fourth in that department, so it's a very pleasing aspect. I just think he's someone who should suit this type of test, and I think he'll go really well.
Beautiful. He is.
Fish, bash, bosh. There you go. That's
25-1 chance. A banker. 25-1 chance. Let's talk about some of the market leads. I mean, John Rahm's the favourite, but you're talking about sending it off the tee. Beefy Bryson, can he win again?
Beefy Bryson could win again. He's got the confidence from last week. Depends how much it took out of him with the playoff victory and all the emotions and how much he's been celebrating that victory. You know, he could have gone on a bender for a couple of days. We don't know. But
he's got time to get from Singapore to South Africa. I don't think there's time.
That's it. Well, to be on the private jet, the champagne opening for them. But it's, yeah, I'm not too sure on DeChambeau. You know, winning back-to-back can be difficult on any circuit. So for me, I'm happy to sort of sidestep DeChambeau. You know my thoughts on short prices. I'm nowhere near am I taking John Rahm at that price. He is just way too skinny for something that can go wrong. We've already seen him finish runner-up a few times and he was fifth last week. Very consistent, but yeah, not going anywhere near. I was close to putting up Jose Ballester, the young Spaniard. He leads in driving distance this season, so he gives it a big, big thump. But his putting is just a little bit inconsistent for me, so that was why I veered away from him. Dean Burmester as well, I really, really liked. And of course, he will have the home crowd behind him, the South African. Again, he's one that sends it quite a good distance off the tee. But he's just a bit skinny in the market. And I think his price has been taken down or shortened because of it being on home soil. It can sometimes work as a big beneficial factor, having all the crowd cheering you on, but it can put added pressure as well. And I just think the fact that because it's in South Africa, his odds have been shortened.
Okay, let's move on then. Banker. Banker for the Live Golf from James Nicko. 25-1 shots. Let's move on to the Valspar Championship, final event of the Florida Swing. Tell us about the track, James. We've had the bear trap. We've now got the snake pit.
Yeah, the snake pit. They like to sort of name a few holes, don't they, in America? But yeah, Copperhead Course in Innisbrook Resort, Palm Harbor, Florida. It's the final event of the Florida Swing as well. The Valspar has been played in March since 2005, except 2020, when that edition was lost to the pandemic, and 2021, when it was staged in May. That was following the resumption of the tour. But this is a difficult course, par 71, 7,352 yards. And it's a slightly different kind of format to what you usually see in terms of the pars. It's got four par fives, but it's got nine par fours and five par threes. You don't see that often. The stroke average last year was 71.87. Undulating fairways, tree-lined course. It's got several dogleg fairways. Water's in play on nine holes as well. Now, the primary rough, that exceeded 3 inches in each of the last five renewals. So it shows how tough this course can be if you go off the beaten track. Previous winners, well, Victor Hovland's the defending champion. Sam Burns, Paul Casey, they're both two-time winners. Adam Hadwin, Charles Schwartzel have all won here. So I think there's a variety of players that could potentially do well. You know, Schwartzel's not the biggest hitter, neither is Hadwin, but Hovland gives it a good send off the tee, as does Sam Burns. But the metrics, or the key metrics I'm looking at for the win, is accuracy on approach and putting. There's some really good stats that I found when I was looking around. 16 of the 24 course winners today have ranked 11th or better for greens in regulation, and only two course winners have ranked outside the top 20 for putting average. So they're two massive areas of game that you need to perform well in. And that's what I've been looking at. Weather forecast conditions look good, warm and sunny. Got 133 at the minute that are going to post from what I've seen. Bets placed by 11 a.m. on Thursday, please.
Please, very polite. You look way more polite than Steve. We'll have you on every week, James, with those kind of manners. I really like a player here. I don't know whether he's going to be in your team or not. I'll ask you about him after if he's not. He is playing in the TGL, though, so Steve will be absolutely livid that I'm even mentioning him. Right, you've told us that there's three players on your list here, James. Who is the main selection then for the Valspar Championship?
Yeah, I think we might have the same player here because he is also playing in the TGL. And the main selection is Akshay Bhatia. But by the look of your face, that's
not what you're going for. I'm a big fan, but he's not him. But I am a big fan, yes.
Okay, well, yeah, Bhatia is the main pick. I mean, the way he's playing, I'm surprised that he's not shorter in the betting. I didn't think I'd be able to get or see the price that he is available at because he's in such good form. I cannot overlook him this week. Last five starts for him. Tied third in Phoenix, tied sixth at Pebble Beach, tied 16th at the Genesis. He then won the Arnold Palmer at Bay Hill, and he was then tied 13th at the Players last week. He is playing with supreme confidence at the moment. This will be his fourth crack at the Valspar. He missed the cut on his first two attempts. That was 2019 and 2023, but he's got to grips. He had a tied 17th in 2024 in his last showing. He's looking good in the areas I want him to be for this tournament. He's ninth in strokes gained approach. He's 10th in strokes gained putting and 7th in putting average. So two key areas to success this week. He's excelling in both of those. He's bang in form. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it when I looked in the betting and I saw that he could get him in excess of 20s. He is a player who definitely to me looks like he can take this title.
Okay, right. I got excited again, and I've not given the show before we got your main pick. Xander Schauffele is our market leader, 12-1. Matt Fitzpatrick, 16s. Victor Hovland, 20s. Akshay Bhatia, 22s. As is Justin Thomas, who is the player that I like here. But I wanted to ask you, James, we can do that now because you've tipped a player playing in the TGL. What are your thoughts? Is it a big negative, a big red flag, players that are, you know, doing this at the start of the week, the TGL, and then going on to the event?
No, I don't think it is because the TGL can help to completely distract you a little bit from everything else that is going on.
Right, okay.
It's just a bit of fun. It's just a bit of fun, the TGL.
Yes, it is. It is a bit of fun, yes.
It's just, it's inside. It's in a, you know, you've got a little bit of a crowd watching you. You're hitting into a massive screen. You know, there's a bit of banter going on and all that and joking around. It's not full competitive golf, really. And I know people might say, oh, no, it is. You know, I was like, it's not. If they don't win, they're not beating themselves up about it. You know, if they don't win the Players last week, like Fitzpatrick will be beating himself up about not winning the Players, that is something that will happen, but not on the TGL. So, yeah, for me, I don't mind them playing in the TGL ahead of a main tournament.
Okay, we've got, managed to find a list of players playing on the Tuesday this week. Thomas, Cantlay, Horschel, Glover, Morikawa, Thigala, Rose and Fleetwood. Logistics-wise, what would be the distance covered between the TGL and the Valspar?
Well, it's the SoFi Centre, isn't it? So it's California is where the TGL is over to Florida, over to Copperhead. Off the top of my head, I can't remember how sort of big the distance is between the two, but it won't be far. And like I said, just hop on a private jet and get yourself over there. I mean, they'll plan for it. They'll have planned their team, the players will know. If they don't want to play in the TGL because they think it will impact their ability to perform on the PGA Tour events, then they'll probably say, now, you know what? I don't fancy playing in the semi-final. To give it to someone else, give it to one of the alternates to come in and do it. But obviously, they know that it's not going to sort of drain the energy levels too much. So, yeah, I'm happy with it. I mean, on Justin Thomas, I had him down on the watch list as I've had for the tournaments this week. He loves the course. He was second last year. He's had a further two top tens. But for me, he's still getting back into the groove from the injury recovery. And I don't like him going in as one of the favourites for this tournament. He had a little bit of an issue with the Players when he made an error. Was it during his third round, I think it was, when he hit it into the water, made a triple bogey on one of the holes. So there's still little bits about his game, I think, where they're not quite where he wants them to be. So for me, Thomas being one of the favourites, I don't like it. I'd like him coming in as someone maybe who was, like you said, working his way back from injury and maybe a little bit bigger in the betting.
Right, according to Google, there are other search engines available. TGL venue is Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, and the Valspar Championship is Palm Harbor, Florida. So
there we go.
logistically, we might be all right, James. So there we go. Right, let's get back to, no one cares what I think, what you think. Next best then, who's your second pick?
Yeah, this is Blades Brown, and I cannot believe that he is available at the price he is available at. You can get him in excess of 200s. I mean, he is such a talented player. Honestly, my jaw, I mean, Deschambeau's jaw dropped when Richard Lee missed that putt in the playoff. My jaw dropped when I saw the price you can get him available at. I mean, yeah. The 18-year-old, his future looks so, so promising. You know, a first PGA Tour title, it could be in the offing this week. He's already come close to that. Last time out in Puerto Rico, we had a third-place finish. That's more good experience of being in the hunt for him, just like he was at the American Express when he shot around a 60 in round two, missed a birdie putt to shoot a 59. He faltered on the last day in that tournament with a 74, but that was definitely being in that position for the first time in such a big event. He was paired with the world number one Scottie Scheffler. He'd maybe just got a bit overawed by the situation, but he's learned from that because then he goes to Puerto Rico and he finishes third. So he's definitely gaining valuable experience. He's a really solid driver of the ball. He's first in total driving, but his irons have looked sharp as well. He's fifth in GIR. He's third in putting average. He just looks to have everything required to go really well this week. He missed the cut last year when he made his debut, but he's come on a lot since then, and he looks a very, very interesting contender. Like I said, 18 years old, the world is his oyster, I think. So certainly he's a player, I think, that's got a very promising future.
Yeah, he's not shy coming forward either, that's for sure. Very confident young man. Shop around. Do shop around. James has mentioned that big price. We could only find that in one place before we started rolling. So do make sure you shop around. Delve everywhere, but there are big prices available about Blades Brown. Right, you've given us two selections, James. I'm assuming the third pick is not a bigger price than Blades Brown.
No, it's gone in between the two selections on the price.
Okay, but I like that you've stuck him in next best just purely because he's just a monster price, right?
Yeah, monster price and just such a talented player. Really interesting to see how he goes.
Okay, right, give us the third pick then.
Third pick is one that you will like. He's close to your heart, Dave, and it's your happy hammer, Billy Horschel.
Oh, come on, West Ham's Billy Horschel, come on.
He gets the third pick. Maybe a win for Horschel will then transpire to West Ham picking up some good results and getting away from relegation trouble. But Horschel, he's finished fourth here last year. He was 12th in 2024. So he's found a way to get around this course. That was after he missed the cut on his other two starts. He actually ranked sixth for lowest round average on this course from 2021 to 2025. So he certainly likes the layout now. You know, he heads here on the back of his best finish of the season. That was at the Arnold Palmer, where he was tied 13th. So he's just starting to find his groove a little bit. He was second in strokes gained putting at Bay Hill. Good to see a club that has worked pretty well for him in recent seasons, even though he has one of the most horrific putting sort of techniques and methods where he edges really close towards it. I hate it, but it works for him, and it's good to see that it's working again. I just think in what looks to be a pretty wide open tournament for me, Horschel has definitely got the quality to get into the mix. And I think that Arnold Palmer showing will certainly just give him that little bit of boost he needs, because he was struggling for results before that. He was swinging it all right, just not quite having the rubber of the green. But I think this tournament, where he's done well in the past couple of years, is certainly one that he could perform in once again.
Yeah, I'm scrolling. He's a massive price, James. Huge price. Just to scroll right down, he's 125-1 in a place. Definitely the sort of player that I think you can get on side with to make the cut. You know, top 20 finish, top 10 finish, as well as backing each way at huge prices, because some firms out there are going as many as 10 places.
Yeah, 10 places. I think when you look at the betting for this, when you look at the field for it, you've obviously got Schauffele up there leading the way. And like I said, if he excels, then he's going to be hard to catch. But like I said, there's so many variables in a tournament, in a golf tournament. Matt Fitzpatrick up there as well. I wouldn't be surprised to see him miss the cut because of the players, because of falling down in the last hole and all of the emotion and everything. If he doesn't make the weekend, I wouldn't be surprised. But I'm also not surprised if he doesn't properly get into contention. Victor Hovland is up there as well. But I just think there's too many too many doubts still about Hovland. He's a quirky player. You're not sure if he's still got the same consistency level. So for me, I wouldn't really be going near him as well. So then you look at that and then you start going. I mentioned, obviously, Justin Thomas, you mentioned, only recently back from injury. Brooks Koepka, is he still the player he used to be? Patrick Cantlay, he can't get back in the winner's circle. Jordan Spieth's up there. And you know, I'm still not sure whether he could ever get back to the levels he used to. So it's a wide open tournament for me. And there are prices to be had everywhere. Yeah, I really do like the three selections we put up for this one.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, James, I'm loving the Blades Brown price. That is for sure. Right, that wraps it up then. Let's have a roundup of your selections then. Three tournaments. We start with the Anand Classic. Remind us of the bet times, bet buy, if possible, as well, James. So in China, the DP World Tour is back. What time do we need to bet buy and who are we going for?
Yeah, so you've got to bet by Wednesday night, 11:20 p.m. to get your bets on. And we've got four selections, Dan Bradbury, Grant Forrest, Oyan Gilamondegui and Jordan Gumberg.
Just rolls off the tongue, that one. And I'm assuming you'll be staying up watching all 4 days of this event, James, yeah?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Going to take some stamina and fortitude, that is for sure, to watch every shot from that event. Right, four there. Just the one selection for the LIV event in South Africa this week. Who are you going for?
Yeah, so it's Lucas Herbert is the one selection. And get your bets on 10:15 a.m. on Thursday.
Slightly more civilised for us UK punters. And then the three for the Valspar, please, James.
Yeah, we've got Akshay Bhatia, Blades Brown and Billy Horschel. And it's 11 a.m. on Thursday to get your bets on.
Marvellous. It's a pleasure as ever to have you on board the good ship. Steve will be back next week. James, next time you deputise for Steve, I want you to say to me that you've been out on the golf course. The sun is out now. We are, us fair weather golfers, can dust off the golf shoes and get amongst it.
Yeah, no, I'll do my very best. I mean, with my partner's due middle of April, so we'll see. We'll see. I might be able to watch all of the Masters, and then number two will arrive along. But if I could leave you with anything, Dave, with a very early look at the Masters.
Yes.
Adam Scott. That's all I'm going to say. Adam Scott, I think, has got a really good chance of getting a second green jacket.
Wow. I like that. Well, best of luck to Adam Scott. More importantly, best of luck to you, James, with number two en route. Listen, you might be sort of on the back nine and, you know, the missus rings and the waters have broken. I need you back. And you could be like, well, I'm on for a, you know, I might break 80 here. You'll have to wait.
That's it. If I'm on for a good score, then I'll say I can't quite hear you. I'll meet you at the hospital. There we go.
Well, best of luck to you. Fingers crossed and all of that. So we look forward to you being back and your family having grown by one next time you do appear here on The Sweet Spot. You out there, thanks for watching. Enjoy the golf, gamble responsibly, and we'll see you next week.